This is the Sean Leslie Show on CKNW News Talk 980. Once again, filling in for Sean Leslie, here's Jill Bennett.
Well, the building of a proposed $2 billion liquefied natural gas project in BC has been delayed, likely a result of the province's greenhouse gas cutting ambitions. Calgary-based Westpac LNG Corporation unveiled the plans for the project last summer, but the start date has been pushed back. Now, in a few moments, we will check in with the company, but first, we are joined by Chuck Childress. He is the chair of the Texada Action Now Group, one of the groups opposed to this plant. Chuck, thank you for joining us today.
No, thank you for having me.
So tell us your concerns with the proposed natural gas plant for Texada Island.
Well, they're on three levels, and the first level, of course, is here locally, and we don't want a lifestyle change that will come with this kind of development, and we do think it's the right of every community to determine its commercial, industrial, and residential makeup. And if Vancouver can say they don't want a Walmart, we can say we don't want Westpac.
What kind of a lifestyle change do you think it would bring?
Well, it changes. We're a pretty laid-back island here, and very, very clean environment. We have a retirement industry here that's already been impacted by it, by the announcement. Real estate values have flattened and dropped, and lack of interest in real estate is evident. And I didn't get any sockeye salmon this year, and the government tells me that that's because of something called global warming, and we don't need any more of it.
What do you think would be the effect of this plant on the island, though? As far as what changes do you think you would see?
Well, I think it could be the thin edge of a wedge as far as petrochemical industry. It could have some effects as far as tanker traffic is a concern, safety of liquefied natural gas tankers in the United States. And that's one of the reasons we think that Westpac is coming here, is because on the west coast of the United States, there are currently no LNG unloading facilities permitted. And even on the east coast of the United States, I see last week that Exxon has announced that they're going to build an LNG facility. But because of opposition to land-based LNG ports, they actually are going to locate it 30 miles offshore. So we don't need that here.
Did this issue go to a public hearing or referendum, or how were the residents of Texada Island involved in the process?
Well, Westpac was here and held a couple of local meetings and put their case forward, and at those local meetings I think basically they were told to go away. We didn't want them. Since then, our organization has polled the people on Texada, and we actually have on a referendum the signatures of 84% of the adult population of Texada as being registered as being opposed to this project. We wanted to have a referendum, but the Fall River Regional District sought some legal advice. They got some legal advice that said that they legally couldn't hold one, so we still had to gauge the public opinion here, so we did that on our own.
I've heard Texada described as kind of an affordable paradise. Can you kind of describe the area where the plant would be built?
Well, where the plant is built is one of the traditional fishing areas for the Sliamon First Nation, and also for all of the people that have arrived since. It's always traditionally been a great fishing spot. It's a great diving spot. There's all kinds of wildlife there. It's very pristine. The beaches on Texada, 99% of the shoreline on Texada, you can walk onto the beach and harvest the oysters and the clams and eat them. We're in that. That's the kind of environment you're dealing with.
And as far as jobs, I think the company has said that it will bring a lot of jobs to the area. Are there people on Texada looking for work, or is it more of a retirement community?
Well, we have the retirement community actually is right now is providing a lot of the work. We do have limestone quarrying here. We've quarried limestone here for over 100 years to feed into the lower mainland market mainly. But we have, over the last several years, there's been a great increase in retirement coming out of the north and out of metropolitan areas where people can cash out and come here. And our real estate values, although we may think they're high, they're very low by Lower Mainland standards. And people who want to take an early retirement and have a big nest egg in the bank besides, they come up here, buy a little place, build a little place, and kind of have a very, very laid-back, nice retirement lifestyle.
Some people will hear your argument and automatically bring out the phrase NIMBY, saying, you know, this is obviously just a group of people who don't want this built in their backyards. If it meets all of the codes and it meets all of the standards, the company should be allowed to build it.
Well, first of all, I don't think it's going to meet the standards. I mean, you know, the provincial government is saying, and we were down and saw Minister Neufeld, and he personally told us that he does not favor burning of natural gas to generate electricity. That's his own personal opinion. But that aside, BC Energy Policy wants to be self-sufficient in energy. This is not self-sufficiency when you are importing natural gas from offshore to generate electricity. That's not self-sufficient. It's imported self-sufficiency. The other thing is that you're going to lower greenhouse gases by 33%. As long as we continue to increase the burning of carbon-based fuels, we cannot lower the greenhouse gas emissions. And this plant, if they build it the way they announced they were going to build it, would put out about the same amount of greenhouse gases as 500,000 cars. And, you know, then it becomes absurd for politicians and people in the Lower Mainland to work hard to put in transit or to divert people from by carpooling or to get people to buy hybrid cars to get 10 or 20,000 cars off the road when just up the straight, almost within sight of Vancouver, you're putting in a plant that's going to puke out the equivalent of 500,000 cars in greenhouse gases. So we don't think that they're going to meet the regulations, and that's we're saying that this is going to be the litmus test for the regulations. If the regulations, when they come out, have got the enough loopholes in them to allow a Calgary-based company to come in here and burn imported fossil fuels and puke out a lot of greenhouse gases, then the regulations will not be worth the paper they're printed on.
Is there anything the company could do at this point to change the proposal or to make it so it would be acceptable?
No. No. They're not welcome here. I don't think they would be welcome. I mean, they could try and go to Seychelles. They can try to go to Vancouver Island, which gives them access to the same power line and pipeline. But I don't think they'll be welcome there. I don't think a lot of these companies, and I think government, some government is getting it, but we're suspicious of government a little bit, we can't continue to burn the greenhouse gases, burn the carbon-based fuels. BC has no, I mean, the wind has been blowing here straight now for about a week, and I haven't seen one windmill turning because BC has not got on, has not yet got on the bandwagon of renewable energy. And I know Westpac is going to tell you that they're going to replace the antiquated Burrard Thermal Plant. And the Burrard Thermal Plant in 2006 put out 350,000 tons of greenhouse gases. Westpac, if they build out to 600,000 or 600 megawatts and expand to 1,200 megawatts and run the 600 megawatts half the time and 600 megawatts all the time, they will exceed that by 7.5 times. We cannot lower greenhouse gas emissions by burning more carbon-based fuels. Simple.
All right. Well, Chuck, thank you for joining us today.
No, thank you for having me.
All right. Childress is the chair of the Texada Action Now Group, opposed to a liquefied natural gas plant proposed for Texada Island. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to check in with Westpac. He'll give a spokesperson for the company a chance to address some of the issues raised by Chuck and talk about the project. That's all when we come back. Well, just before the break, we were speaking with Chuck Childress, the chair of the Texada Action Now Group, opposed to a proposal for a liquefied natural gas plant for Texada Island. Now it is the company's turn to address the issue, and joining us on the line is Stu Leeson, the president of Westpac LNG. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Jill.
So, Stu, I know you got to hear a bit of what Chuck had to say there and some of his concerns about the plant. Now, why has the proposal been delayed?
It's primarily as a result of some of the announcements that have come out of the British Columbia government, specifically the announcement by the Premier in September that he's setting a target for British Columbia to reduce their emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, by 33% over the coming period of time. Also some initiatives with respect to joining what's called the Western Climate Initiative, which will be a group of Western provinces and the states who will get together and set up a carbon trading mechanism. All these initiatives and the rules and the regulations that will come out of those will affect our project. So we've decided to wait until those regulations are in place before we proceed with the project.
Greenhouse gas emissions have been a huge topic, especially for our province. So if we can look back even to the day Gordon Campbell spent with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I mean, it's been a huge, huge issue here. How can this project fall under the new guidelines that we're expecting to see in BC?
That's a good question. The reality is that global gas emissions are not just a local issue. They're not even a provincial issue. They're a global issue. They lead to global warming. And it's a fact that currently BC Hydro imports a significant amount of power from both Alberta and from the western United States. Much of that power comes from coal-fired plants. These are dirty plants, and they have tremendous emissions. It's our proposal, and our plant would develop a gas-fired power plant that would have emissions that are a fraction of what comes out of these coal plants. So we see two benefits here. We see a domestic supply of electricity that can replace these imports, and that electricity would generate far fewer emissions than come from these dirty coal plants.
One of the numbers Chuck was throwing around was saying that it would be close to having 500,000 cars plunked on Texada Island as far as the carbon emissions. Is that a valid number?
No, it's not. Our plan is to develop this plant and to have it run only in periods of time when BC Hydro did not have access to either hydroelectric power or wind power. And I think Mr. Childress referred to the Burrard plant. That plant only runs perhaps 30 or 60 days a year. It only runs when BC Hydro requires some additional power. We would design our facility to run approximately the same amount of time. So the emissions that have been quoted are for a baseload plant, and we have no intention of running this plant as a baseload gas-fired power plant.
What about the greenhouse gas emissions, though? I mean, do you know how much will be produced by this plant?
We don't have an exact number because it really depends on the size of the plant, the specific design, and really what BC Hydro's needs are. But again, we do know that it will replace coal-fired power, and you know, regardless of the design and the size, the emissions out of this will be a fraction of what's coming out of coal plants.
But I guess the argument then from the Texada residents is it's not replacing a coal-fired plant on Texada Island.
Well, it's not, but the residents of Texada, like all of us, are suffering the effects of global warming, and it doesn't matter whether that coal-fired plant's in British Columbia or in Oregon or in Washington or in Alberta. You know, the effects are the same on the residents.
And why did you choose Texada Island?
The major reasons were, number one, there's a major gas pipeline that crosses the island. It's run by Terrison Gas. So if we were to bring the LNG in, we would need access to a gas pipeline, and that's there. There's also a major power transmission line, so which we also require access to. So those are the two primary reasons for picking Texada Island, as well as the fact that it's about halfway between the Lower Mainland and Vancouver Island. So if we deliver natural gas and power into the system, it can be delivered through the pipeline and through the electric transmission line to both Vancouver Island and back here to the Lower Mainland.
One of the other concerns was as far as having tankers transporting liquid natural gas and having tanker traffic in the area. Does the proposal include an increase in tanker traffic?
It would. We would expect one tanker to come in about every 10 to 15 days during periods of high demand in the wintertime, and potentially once every 20 to 30 days in the summertime when demand is lower. But the fact is that would add less than 1% to the traffic that currently goes through the Georgia Strait. So we don't really view that as being a significant increase in the traffic.
How does this plant, whenever we hear the term gas-fired plant, I automatically think back to the days of Sumas 2 and the Abbotsford residents that rallied against that plant. Do you know that project well enough to compare kind of the two as far as size? Are they similar at all?
They could be. I was not here when that plant was proposed and evaluated, but our design would be a similar plant. It would be gas-fired power generation. But again, the structure and the means by which that power was delivered would be slightly different, and the way that BC Hydro used this power would also be different from that facility.
What happens then, though, if the regulations come out from the province as far as greenhouse gas emissions and such, and there's just no way that this plant can come in under the regulations?
Well, that's a hypothetical question. There would be regulations, but there will also be rules governing power generation. So, it's difficult to answer that question at this point, which is why we need to see the rules, see the regulations before we can make a decision on the project.
Is that, though, where we come in, or when we hear about things such as carbon trading and offsetting with other companies and other places?
Exactly. That carbon trading mechanism, there will be a cost associated with purchasing those carbon credits, which would affect the economics of our project, would also affect the economics of coal-fired power generation on the West Coast. So it would have an impact on our project and a commercial impact on all the facilities that are currently in operation.
But then in doing that, that would allow the plant in BC to be emitting more by buying those credits elsewhere?
Well, it would depend where those credits are generated, but there could be a situation where, regardless of where the power generation is, BC Hydro will have to buy those credits. So in other words, even if they were to import power from Alberta or from the west of the western United States, they would have to purchase credits for that power as it was brought in.
The residents on Texada are saying there's really nothing that you can say or do at this point as far as changing the project or modifying it to make them happy. Do you have a plan in place as far as trying to sell this to the residents?
Well, we do. In fact, the opinion that was expressed by Mr. Childress is perhaps an opinion of some people on Texada Island. But we also know that there is support for the project on the island. And we also know that there would be support on the island if we could address some of their concerns, such as the routing of the power transmission line. I think we can address those concerns, and I think through addressing those concerns, we expect to develop some support for the project on the island and also in the communities, perhaps on the lower mainland in Powell River.
And when you say the power lines, are people concerned then with overhead power lines?
Exactly. So there are options for that. We can reroute the line, we can put a portion of the line underground. So there are means that we have to address that concern.
It just seems like you have a big, not only a big project that you're working on, but those are two issues as far as gas-fired plants. When we saw the Sumas 2, I mean, that battle went on for years, and in the end, the residents were victorious. They got the plant stopped, and overland power lines, we've seen a battle brewing in Tawasin for many, many months, even a couple of years at this point. It just seems like those are two, you couldn't have picked two more hot-button issues to be dealing with, and especially throw in a Gulf Island, which is probably one of the most laid-back places that I've ever been. It just seems like you've got a big fight on your hands.
Well, that's true, but the reality of the situation is that BC Hydro is importing a significant amount of power today, and as we go forward, they're going to have to import more power. So they're going to have to come up with a solution to meet the growing demand for electricity. And we don't believe that that demand can be met solely by conservation or by these green projects such as run-of-the-river hydro or wind power. So we still think that this project has a place in BC Hydro's electricity supply.
Where do you go from here then as far as the scheduled start date has been pushed back to 2014 from 2013, if I'm right?
That's correct.
Where do you go from here now? You wait for the actual regulations to come out. What's kind of the next step after you get a better idea what's happening there?
Assuming the regulations and the rules come out and they're willing to accommodate gas-fired power generation, it would be our hope that we could initiate the environmental assessment process early in 2009, and we would do that by filing what's called a project description, which would include a detailed design and basically all the facilities that would be associated with the project. And that would, as you say, that would then lead to a startup approximately in 2014.
How many jobs would it bring to Texada?
Direct jobs would be in the order of about 75 for both the LNG facility and the power plant. There could be up to 300 to 400 jobs that would be created during the construction phase of the project, but 75 full-time permanent jobs.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jill.
All right, Stu Leeson is the president of Westpac LNG. He joined us on the phone talking about an issue that I am sure is not going to go anywhere anytime soon. It's a proposal to build a liquefied natural gas plant on Texada Island. As expected, many residents of the island are opposed to the plant, and the plant itself might not even meet greenhouse gas emission standards brought out by the province, with those regulations still being drafted and honed, and nobody knows exactly what they are going to be. But we'll see if the project fits and what will happen next. I guarantee you we have not heard the end of this.